25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, it's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing 6 bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to Jutra award-winning actor and comedian Emmanuel Bilodeau.
You've had a pretty diverse work life: law, journalism, acting, documentary, and comedy. What are the threads that connect these experiences for you?
My God. You know, in French, we would say touche à tout. I mean, I am a very curious person, and I have not enough of one life to experience all, you know, the spectrum of life. There's so much things we can do when we are, like me, a pigiste. I mean, I'm an artist, but, you know, I was a former lawyer, and I was a journalist. I think in my blood, the journalism is the most important, maybe, a cell. I think my father was very curious. Two of my brothers, because I have 4 brothers and 7 sisters, 2 of my brothers were journalists, too, in CBC French. And I think... when I was young, I was a little boy that would deliver newspapers to people in the neighborhood. So very young, I was interested by, you know, the news and CNN and LCN, you know, all the news. I'm an addict to the news. So I know about the world, and I want to discover what I can do. With just a little bit of time, you can learn so much things. So this is my nature. My profound nature is to try everything. Now I'd like to try maybe, you know, singing and maybe poetry and maybe one day painting, but I have no talent in those. But I don't wait to have talent in something to try it, you know? If you wait for that, you will never do anything. And if you judge yourself doing it, well, you never do anything. And I think I've waited too long to be a humorist or a comedian, stand-up comic. I've waited for so many years to try that. And I knew I had a little bit of that in my blood, in my nature, and if I can say. So when I tried it, maybe 48, I discovered a new world, and I had so much fun that I just regret that I didn't try before. And this is the thing I could tell to young people. Just try it, and whatever happens, we don't have the time to be shy or to, you know, if you are shy of doing something, and you are afraid of being judged by your entourage, the people around you, well, you lose time, and you are not in the generosity of life. So just do it, like Nike would say.
Nice. I liked the quote on your website. You said that you wanted to become a politician to change the world, but instead you became a professional babbler. What are some of the things you'd like to change about the world, and what gives you hope that these things can change?
Well, I think I would change the world in if I was the leader of the world, I would just change the way we treat an environment. It's the peace. I would do peace first. I would forbid every country to be at war, so it would be so easy. If it was easy, I would do it. I would say to people, stop it right now, and then now we don't play with environment. We just do what we have to do, whatever the cost. We change our economy to be green, and everybody at the same time, and then today, not tomorrow, just like Greta Thunberg. I would be that radical, and we don't have time to do anything else. This is what I would change first. And then I would do that in the respect of all religions, all people, cultures, it wouldn't be very easy, but we have to try to just talk to each other and then realize that we don't have any choice, that to live in peace with our environment. It's so, you know, I'm 58. I'm just talking like a child of 8-year-old, but I think a young eight-year-old child is more intelligent than any leader in the world right now. So that is my answer.
You told me that your parents were bilingual when we spoke on the phone earlier, but your family mostly spoke French at home. When did you begin to learn English, and what do you remember about that process?
Well, I'm so, not angry with my parents, but they were so good in English, both of them. My father was born in Ottawa, and my mother is born in Winnipeg, and they were both translators for their living. So why didn't they teach me English when I was young? Like I see in my in the school of my children, lots of young 4-year-old are bilingual already with just their parents to teach them. So my father was a man who was afraid of everything. He was very afraid that his 12 children would not speak French when they get older, because he was living near Ottawa, and he was afraid that this language would be lost. So by this fear, he didn't teach us English. So right now I should be an actor, an international actor that can work in Toronto, Hollywood, ever. But I'm not able to speak better than I'm speaking right now. So it's a poor thing. And my English, I learned it maybe a little bit on TV, a little bit at high school, and then, by life. It doesn't seem like that, but I listen to TV in English most of the time, and I learned that way. Now I'm listening to Handmaid's Tale, and it's an amazing series that can teach me English and a lot about life, too, and about women and the way we treat women. It's so important to respect that. My thoughts are not well expressed right now. It would be very more interesting if I was bilingual. It's so full that I don't speak English more than that. But, one day at a time, I have lots of things to learn yet. But English is so important when you live in North America and in Canada. So one day I'm going to be better. If I do more interviews like that with people like you, I would be better.
You should just put that out there. As you've learned English, has it expanded your appreciation of French?
Well, no, learning English expand my appreciation of English first. Because it's a nice language, and I'd like to be bilingual and to be able to speak English with the world. And at the same time, I would like to be able to speak Spanish, to be able to talk to lots of people too. But every language is so it's microcosm. It's a world that opens to you when you. One day I was in Uruguay near Argentina. And I couldn't speak Spanish, and I was so sad. It was a drama for me because everyone can talk to me in French, but I couldn't do the same in Spanish, and I was so sad. And trying to learn languages is trying to be respectful with other people in the planet. And so
I'm trying to learn French myself, and I'm in my 50s, and it's pretty slow going as an older adult to try to learn another language. But I am actually finding that learning French is helping me learn English grammar better, because when you grow up English speaker, you just take things for granted. You don't really think of why they are the way they are, but learning another language kind of helps you see a little bit of, what's behind the scenes of it. So.
Oh, yeah.
You found some of that yourself?
Yes, I find that myself.
Anyways, I'm quite a ways away from being able to do an interview in French, should anybody want to interview me. I want to ask you a bit about the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. You were a spokesperson for the RVF in 2017, and this is the 25th anniversary of the RVF. What does this annual celebration of the Francophonie mean to you, and has its meaning changed over time for you?
Well, it's so important. This rendezvous is it's the occasion to just take a consciousness, to take to be aware that it is a great value for this country to have this variety of cultures and the way to express ourselves. And Francophones around Canada are so important to Canada itself, to make a better living country with more deepness, and And this allowed me to visit Canada and visit my, you know, the people that are trying to save French from extinction. And they are so proud of their culture and their way to speak. And it's so important for them and for us too that they survive, because, you know, the way we talk is so rich. When we have lots of people talking many languages, it's the way to express ourselves. And, you know, it's rich. I don't know how to say it better than that, but it's a rich thing to have, because homogeneity is sad and poor. But diversity of languages and cultures is joy and happiness.
You are living on a small rural property in the Eastern Townships. What are you doing these days?
Well, I'm not living there. It's a country house. And we just bought it last summer, in the way we could the garden there and maybe one day just live there all the time, me and my wife, and maybe the kids that they want to. But it's a big project, and now we have to build a house on it, an ecological way of building a house. I'm just getting out of a meeting with people that know how to build a eco-friendly house, solar passive and everything that can be good for the environment. And it's so inspiring to have a big playground to be a gardener and to live from your vegetables and everything that you can have in the garden. And it's inspiring to have a river nearby and a small lake and the sun and a good earth to teach our kids and to be part of the community and allow people to come and plant what they want to. My English is so limiting for me. I love to talk, but I cannot talk because my words don't come easily. But I would like to share my earth with the neighborhood, so people could live with that and share with the community. That is inspiring us with this part of the world, because we don't own the land. The land owns us, and we have to share it, because anyways, it's not us. We have lots to learn about property and being owner of the land. It's an illusion. So we have to be aware of that and just share it the most we can.
Well, it seems like a lovely note to end our conversation on. I'll think about that in the future. Think about you building that house and digging in the garden and involving other people in that. Such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you, Catherine Fisher.
Thanks for tuning into the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from Jutra award-winning actor and comedian Emmanuel Bilodeau.